Maybe our stories are a little different, but what I love about that video is he's just being real about his life, about the difficulties of his life, about the problems that continue to swirl, about the sin that continues to complicate, about the weight that he carries day in and day out, just being one of us. You know, we're in this series, and things don't go according to plan. And really, it's a story, it's my story, it's Pastor Tim's story, it's your story to an extent. All of us live in this life and we have these expectations and we have these dreams and we have these hopes and we have these things we want to accomplish, but way too often things don't go according to our charts or our plans or our hopes. And we complicate it with our own sin, and that seems to mess up things worse or delay us more or take us on a detour we never wanted to go on. And it's hard. And we're living in that in-between, knowing that God's got us, but waiting to see, I don't know, some kind of evidence or the fulfillment of everything that he's promised. And it can get overwhelming. And it can be hard. Hence the series that we're going through, when things don't go according to plan. And today we're going to talk about how do you get over, how do you get past, maybe that's a better way of saying it, the disappointments in our life. Because the reality is we are disappointed by things. And we're disappointed by events, and for sure, absolutely positive, we're disappointed by people. For not doing what they say, for not showing up, for not being there when we need them, for not meeting our expectations. And so when you go to Scripture and you try to take a look at a guy who understood disappointment, and one of the people that just jumps off the page is a guy named Moses. Man, did he know how to deal with disappointing people. I bet he had enough practice at it. But that's why we're going to take a look at him today, because looking at his story, he gives us some powerful information, powerful truths on how to get past the disappointments in our life. Because the truth is, if you're going to make it through this life, you have to deal with disappointments. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was trying to give them permission to fail, if that makes sense. You know, so often we think it's the end of the world if we fail, but the truth is all of us have failed over and over again. In fact, when you string a bunch of failures together, we call it struggle. All of us have struggled. But it's persevering through those, it's getting to the other side of those, that so often we get to see what success looks like. Every time we fail, we learn another way not to do something. Amen? You learn another way not to talk to your wife. You learn another thing that doesn't work at work. You learn another thing that doesn't work with your kids. Every time you fail, you learn something. The goal is to learn something and to move forward, but to not give up in the in-between. So the Bible teaches three really important truths about how to overcome disappointment. We're going to get to them in a second. But the main thing I want to share with you this morning is just this simple thing. Don't quit. Don't give up. Hang in there. Because I talked to way too many people, the first sign of things not going according to plan, and they just want to bail. They want to give up. They want to stop. They want to just shrink back into a ball, and they just don't keep going. So one of the first things I just want to share is don't quit. Because often the areas where you think you are the most disappointed right now, in a matter of days or maybe a few miles down the road, they're going to turn around. You're just in the in-between. You're in the middle of things. So again, Moses was authority of how to deal with disappointing people and how to deal with disappointment. It was supposed to take a few weeks to go to the promised land. It took over 40 years. That was not his plan. No man put up with more complaining than he did. See, one of the favorite pastimes of the Israelites, where every time something went wrong, let's complain about the leader. Let's complain about what God's doing. Let's complain about the situation. Complaining, by the way, is another word for distrust. I don't like the way things are going. I don't like where I am. I don't like the situation I find myself in. I need to blame somebody because I don't want to blame myself. So we complain and we bicker and we everything we can to share our frustration about the moment. And what we've lost in the middle of that is trusting that God still got us in the middle of it, trusting that he's still working behind the scenes. We lose that trust, which is the sin ultimately that kept him out of the promised land for those 40 years. One of the marks of these people was that they were always very quick to criticize their leader. Their philosophy was, when in doubt, criticize whoever's in charge, right? So they questioned Moses' motives. They doubted his decisions. They challenged his leadership again and again and again, every time something was in their experience that they didn't like. One day, the Israelites were having a problem with water. It seems like they were always have problems with water, right? One time, they had too much water, the Red Sea. They couldn't get through it. Most of the time, they couldn't find any water. They were looking for water. They were in the middle of a desert. It was totally barren. But this story that we're going to talk about today, they came upon some water finally. Man, it had been 3 days. They hadn't had any water. And they finally came upon this water, and they were so excited. They went to drink it, and they found out it was bitter water. Scripture says that there was death in the water, and they couldn't drink it. It's almost like God was mocking them. I want some water. There you go, but you can't have any. Verse 23, it says, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went to the desert of Shur. For 3 days, they traveled into the desert without finding water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water because it was bitter. That's why the place was called Marah. It means bitter. It wasn't just the water that was bitter. The people were bitter. It's right there, but we can't have any. And let's just give them some props. This was no small problem. They had been 3 days without water. Anybody ever been even 1 day without water? I don't even think we can comprehend the thirst, the frustration, the worry. They've got 3 million people and over 30 million thirsty animals. And they're in the middle of the desert with no water. But I want you to notice one thing in the midst of this text. It says 3 days. Underline that if you would. Why? Because what happened just 3 days earlier? They'd just been at the Red Sea. They saw God open that water in two. They walked through with walls of water on both sides. They were freed from the most powerful nation in the world. They had their freedom. They were no longer slaves. God did an amazing thing. They were blown away. They were excited. They were praising God. Think the beginning of worship. And we're all pumped up. 3 days later, think Wednesday, everything was lost. Everything had gone wrong. Everything was up in the air. In this, God teaches us three truths about how to walk through and overcome the disappointments in life. And one of the first things he gives us this morning is this. Great successes are often followed by failure. And so there they are, and they're wondering what went wrong. Why did God lead us this way? What is Moses doing? Did he take a wrong turn? I mean, there's the pillar of fire and cloud right there. I mean, we're still following it, but what... I mean, God couldn't have meant this. He couldn't have meant for us to struggle right away. I mean, he just freed us. I mean, what in the world is going on? Verse 25, it says, there the Lord tested them. I think God's character is so often revealed in the big things of life, the big crises of life, the big answered prayer, right? He just answered our prayer. That person was healed. This relationship had been reconciled. We're overcome. We're overjoyed. We're blown away by his presence and by his answer. But our character is revealed in the little crises of life, I think. God showed up in power at the Red Sea in ways that nobody could deny. But at Marah, where the water was bitter, it showed what they were really like. It showed how little they trusted him, how quick they were to turn on his man Moses, who he had set in place to lead them into the promised land. And it said God led them there to test them. So often when God tests us, what is he testing? He's testing our heart. Do you love me most? Think Abraham when asked to sacrifice his son. Do you love me most? Do you trust me most? Even when things are difficult or hard. I started thinking about that, and I started wondering how many of you guys are going through tests recently. Things haven't gone according to plan. You find yourself totally in the in-between. You're waiting for the answer. It just hasn't come. It's been hard. You've been scared. You've been angry. Maybe even complained like everybody else. But disappointments are tests. And they test our character. They test what we're really like inside. Do you trust God? I mean, it's one thing to know what his promises are. It's another thing in the midst of life to actually trust him. You notice it doesn't say this about the Red Sea. I mean, that was awesome. I mean, God did his thing. They were blown away. But at Marah, where things got difficult, the Israelites failed the test. They complained, they griped. I started thinking, what is disappointment when we're going through it? What does it show about us? What does it reveal about our hearts or our trust in the Lord? What's your Marah this morning? Amara is anything that's distasteful to you, to be honest. It's a thing that once was sweet, but now has turned bitter. You could think a friendship. You could think a job, a relationship, a problem. Great successes in life are often followed by failure. So God's call to us in the middle of those in-betweens is don't give up. Don't curl back into the hole. Don't stop living. And definitely don't stop trusting that God has got you. He goes on and gives us another truth. Great services in life are often followed by forgetfulness. I always say we're amazing forgetters. I think that's true. I think part of church, the whole reason it exists every 7 days is to help us remember stuff. Help us remember that God's got us, that he's there, that he loves us, that we're forgiven, that he's a God of helps, a God of power. Verse 24 says, so the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? Israel's got such a short memory. I mean, what happened 3 days prior? The Red Sea. 3 days later, they've forgotten everything. And I think, isn't that typical? It's actually a study that came out several years ago that says that we forget 90% of everything we hear in 72 hours. How long is 72 hours? 3 days. Think Wednesday. It's a pretty defeating stat for a pastor, to be honest. But the reality is it just shows that we're amazing forgetters. It's why I have you do sermon notes, to be honest, so that if you study it during the week, you can remember. It's why we have sermons online, again, so that not only other people can see, but that if you forget, you can remember. And so isn't it typical that when we come to a problem, we forget that everything that God's done for us in the past, and we start to worry? Isn't it typical that when you're facing a difficulty right now, and you're in the midst of it, and you're in the presence of it, you start saying, God's not going to help? But you forget all the times that he's been there for you in the past, all the times that he's had your back, all the times that he's gotten you through. It's amazing how quickly we forget stuff. I guess it's just human nature. What have you done for me lately, God? What have you done for me lately, spouse? Children forget parents, bosses forget employees, spouses take each other for granted. Great successes, great services. You're going to do things for people in life. Great things, and they're going to forget about it. And you're going to be disappointed about that. I mean, just think all the blood, sweat, and tears you poured out for your kids. All the things that you maybe have done unsaid for your spouse. What do you do when you're disappointed in other people? Well, you don't rehearse it. That never helps. And you don't nurse it because then it stays with you forever. And instead of living through it once, you're now living through it thousands of times. You don't even try to get even because usually that just blows up in spectacular fashion and causes new problems and new hurts. So what has God said? I guess to keep with the theme here, God calls us to disperse it. And this is what Moses did. To disperse it means to give it to God, to let go of it. Scripture says, cast all your cares upon God. So you don't hang on to it. In verse 25, it says, Moses cried out to the Lord, and he showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Notice the first half of that verse. Moses cried out to the Lord. He didn't write a letter to the editor, and he didn't say, I'm upset, and he didn't start a chain of gossip at work saying, hey, they mistreated me again, and I was passed over for a promotion again. He didn't try to line up people on his side and cause division. He didn't tell everybody at church so that he could have a fight at church. He didn't try to build a case for himself, even to defend himself before the people. He just cried out to the Lord. And when you do that, you can do the last thing, or at least watch the last thing happen, because that's where God can reverse it. For God says that he is a God of power, and that he can help you overcome any circumstance in this life, any circumstance. And Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And that's a powerful promise. But what does it not say there? It doesn't say that all things are good or all things are God's will. There's a lot of sinful things in this world. There's a lot of rebellion against God in this world. There's a lot of things that aren't good. Someone gets cancer. That's not good. That's bad. Someone gets raped. It's not good. That's bad. Someone is verbally abused. Again, that's not good. That's bad. And what's worse is sometimes they meant it for bad. Sometimes people have said stuff to you and they meant it to hurt you. Put a knife in your back and they meant it to hurt you, to complicate your life. They meant it for bad. But God in his amazing ways, his power, He has this way of taking those horrible things in life, even self-imposed things that we brought upon ourselves. He has a way of taking that manure pile and turning it into something amazing. He can use it as fertilizer to grow something wonderful in your life. He works all things for the good of those who love him. Says that he has a plan and a purpose for our lives, and even the things that come into my life that victimize me, and we're all victimized by different things because we're not in control of all circumstances in life. But my call to you and my plea with you is don't stay the victim, and this is how. The great news of the gospel is that he gives us power to overcome those situations. A victim in the midst of the in-between wallows in that in-between, loses hope in that in-between. Gets negative and gripes in the in-between, gets scared in the in-between. But the person with God continues to have hope that he'll get them through. Continues to have hope because he's promised us that he's working behind the scenes for our good and his glory. Continues to have the knowledge and the hope and the trust that he walks with them through that uncertain time. They know that he's got them. That he loves them, that he sees them, that he's forgiven them, that he has the power to help them overcome and to get to the other side of that in-between. He's working all things, even in the bad things, he says. Verse 25, it says, then Moses cried out to the Lord, and that's what you do when you're disappointed. You cry out to the Lord, and he showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Moses responded correctly here. He didn't grumble. He said, disappointments are actually God's appointments. And when he cried out to the Lord, God provided a solution to turn the bitter experience into a sweet experience. Notice it says God showed him a tree. It doesn't say God created the tree out of nothing, right? It said that he showed him the tree. The tree or the solution for turning that bitter experience into a sweet experience had been there all along, but God didn't have to create it, right? It was there the whole time. He just had to show it to Moses. I think if we wallow in our self-pity, we don't see it. If our focus is always on our belly button or on the problem or on the difficulty, we don't see what it is that God wants to do. It says that God showed him the tree. The answer to your disappointments is so often within sight. But you just got to get your eyes on the Lord so that he can show you the next steps, so that he can show you what he's been doing, so that he can show you that he has not left you, that he's with you in the in-between. But you'll never see it as long as you're looking at yourself or looking at something else or looking at the problem. So we've got to get our focus back on the Lord and keep on focusing on the Lord and never give up. The last thing he gives us is that great shortages in life are often followed by fullness. And this is the happy part. Verse 27, it says, then they came to Elim where there were 12 springs. That was exciting news. The Bible goes on to say that there were 70 palm trees and that they camped near the water. 12 springs and 70 palm trees. It was like Palm Springs. I mean, this was an oasis. This was a paradise in the midst of the desert. You know, you look at the desert of Sinai and it's just miles and miles of emptiness, a barren desert. There's just nothing out there. It says, then they came to Elim. And all of a sudden, that barrenness turned into water and shade and food, dates. I mean, there's all these palm trees. It was a paradise, an oasis, something that was almost too good to be true in the midst of the whole thing that they had experienced over the last 3 days. It was all the water that they would ever need. And one of the questions I always ask as I'm going through this passage, and it's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, is how far is Elim from Mara? And you get out a map and you look at it and you'll discover something pretty interesting, right? But before I get to that, remember that they had just come across from the Red Sea. It had been 3 days. It's Wednesday or whatever. Think Wednesday. And they're already complaining that all is lost. I mean, they've been so fixated on their thirst, so fixated on their worries, their terror, that they're never going to find water again. And then in the next part of the scripture says, then they came to Elim. God had even given them an answer to that temporary concern, right? Being thirsty. He gave them a piece of wood, threw it into the well, and made the bitter water sweet. They were drinking. And then the very next part of the scripture says, then they came to Elim, where there was plenty of water for everybody. Elim is 5 miles away from Mara. What is that, a 2-hour walk, maybe a half day's journey? maybe a whole day if you got a whole company of 3 million plus people. Truth is, they just stopped too soon. They gave up. Elam was just down the street. It was just around the corner. Surplus of water. But because they gave up, they were complaining. They were losing hope. They were getting bitter. The lesson is simple. So often, I think we just give up too soon as we go through this life. And God looks at us and he goes, guys, stop doing that. Stop giving up on me in the in-between. Stop losing hope in the in-between. Stop thinking that you have to have all the solutions in the in-between. Don't quit. The answer is just 5 miles away. So the question is, how do you get from Mara to Elam? How do you get to that from that place of disappointment to that place of delight? How do you get from pain to paradise? You keep on trusting and you keep on going. You keep moving ahead. That's God's call to us as we go through life anyway, isn't it? Your life is 10% what happens and 90% how you respond. Give to me that 90%, he says. Let me take care of you in that in-between. Let me give you the strength as you're walking that walk. Let me give you the hope that I'm working behind the scenes so that you can see the other side. Keep on going. The fact is, God wants to work in your life if you'll let him. And there's times where we do have to face those feelings and face those fears and face ourselves and look at those experiences in that past that have been hurtful and hard. There's times that we have to go through them so that we can move forward. Part of the problem with us, though, is we get stuck in Mara. You know, we need to go through them to get healthy or whatever, but we get stuck. God said, no, 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 go on to Elam. Get out of Mara. Don't get stuck there any longer. God never meant for you to stay at Mara. He never meant for you to live your life in the past. He never meant for you to live your life ruled by fear or hopelessness. Some of you are saying, I know, Pastor, but you don't know what's happened to me. My life has just been brutal. If I could tell you all the different things that have gone wrong, all the different hurts that I've experienced, all the different fears that I have, you just don't understand, Pastor. And it's true. I haven't experienced all the horrible things that this life can bring. Praise be to God for that, by the way. Praise be to God that you haven't faced all of those either. We'd be a mess, worse than we are today. But I will say this, nothing surprises me anymore. Having been a pastor for over 26 years now, I don't care what you come into my office to share, it's not going to shock me anymore. It's not going to blow me away because I've seen how mean and evil Satan is. I see how masterful we are at lying to ourselves and how completely we can screw up our lives. There's just nothing out there that just surprises me anymore because I've seen all of it, it seems. I've seen things that you would have thought there's no way they can bounce back from that. And then I've seen God come in and heal it completely. I've seen relationships and there's no way they should be able to rebound, no way they should be able to work through it. And God comes in and puts his hand on that relationship and heals it. I've seen sick people get well. I've seen prayers answered in miraculous ways. See, the power of God is a real thing. And he has the power to bring people from Mara to Elam. In fact, that's what we base our ministry on, that our God is able to forgive. Our God is able to heal. Our God is able to help. Our God is able to get us through this life to be with him in heaven. Truth is, some of you are in Mara right now. And if that's where you are, I just want to say, God sees you. Look, he knows exactly how you got there. He knows if it was somebody else's fault. He knows if it was your fault. He knows the circumstances at play that led you there. I just want to say this to you. Mara's on the map. You're not lost. God knows exactly where you are. Let me also say this. Romans 8:28 is for you. And if you'll trust him, he will lead you through that experience just as surely as he led the Israelites through their experience at Mara. Again, the greatest successes in life are often followed by failure, and the greatest services in life are often followed by forgetfulness, and the greatest shortages in life are often followed by fullness. If you keep going, Elam's just a ways down the road. You know, it's an interesting thing to me that God's solution to this bitter experience was a piece of wood. I don't know why he chose it. It was a miracle. It was God's choice. But God said, here's a piece of wood. Throw it into the well of bitter water, and I'll make that bitter water sweet. And Moses, in his obedience, just acted in accordance with God's will there. And a piece of wood was used to turn that bitter experience into a sweet experience. A little over 2,000 years later, God again chose another piece of wood, the cross, to turn a bitter experience into a sweet one. When Christ hung on that cross, he was saying, I'm taking all the sin of all the world upon myself. Man, you talk about a victim. Sinless, no reason in the world to be there. The Son of God, all the power you would need to put yourself down at any moment. And yet he willingly took all of that sin upon himself on that cross so that you and I could be set free. I mean, that's the good news. That's the gospel, right? That's what it's all about. And so I want to introduce you today to somebody who will never, ever disappoint you. Truth is, you'll be disappointed by your fathers and your mothers and your husbands and your wife. You'll be disappointed by your sisters and your brothers and your children. Your pastors will disappoint you. Your teachers will disappoint you. You'll be disappointed by all kinds of people in this world because people are imperfect. But there's one person that will never disappoint you, and that's Jesus Christ. His promises are just true, and we can stand on them. And he shouts out to us today, and he says, I got you. Keep trusting me. I will walk with you the whole time. Don't give up, for my truth and the truth of my gospel, it will always set you free. You know, as we talk through this today, again, I'll share the same thing I did at the beginning. This is my story. I'm a routine failure in life that God keeps using as I figure out different ways not to do stuff, right? In some really cool ways. This is Pastor Tim's story. Somebody that experienced failure in life over and over again, and God still uses them and keeps using them to experience the success in life. This is your story. Don't get lost along the way. Don't think that God doesn't see you along the way. Don't give up hope in the God who's got you along the way, because he loves you and he's got you. Go with that hope today and pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, we love you. And as we go through this series, when things don't go according to plan, it's something we all get. I wish we didn't. But we can all feel the feelings of fear and the feelings of frustration and the feelings of anger and the feelings that we want to blame other people and we want to play victim to the whole situation. I mean, we get it. Because we're given ample illustration in our life of when things don't go right. Our prayer today, though, is that you would give us a different perspective. One that reminds us, if you will, that you still got us. One that reminds us that you're always there. One reminds us that you see our cries and that you hear our cries and that you see our tears. One that reminds us that you have power to help us overcome. One that reminds us that even when we're not seeing any progress, that you're working. That you're working behind the scenes to work this horrible thing into something better. One that reminds us that with you there is always hope. May that hope give us the strength to keep on going. May that hope give us the strength to keep on trusting. May that hope continue to be the thing that gets us to the other side. And we pray that today in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.